Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
Welcome to iMother Podcast.
Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
My name is Silja Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim, and I am your host. iMother Podcast is a fellowship for and by women to share wisdom, experiences, and resources around birth and motherhood, and about resurrecting the soul after times of darkness. iMother is a term that derived in Sapmi, about traditional midwives and medicine women. A woman who could look into the souls of birthing women and hold space for her. She was a guide into the unknown in both birth as well as death, a priestess of transformations of the soul. I am a mother, birth worker, and light worker, and my sole work on this planet is to help women in and after birth to be wild and true and own their bodies and their stories. By sharing our wisdom and our stories, I believe we create a world for our children where women are supported, empowered, and held. In the background, you're hearing Mari Boina, together with Madosini. Welcome to iMother. Good morning, everyone. It's the 11th of June already when I sit here to create this episode for you. I hope you're feeling grounded and nourished today. And if you're not, I hope this episode provides insight, a break, and empowerment for you. I love Fridays, most of all because there is no one home and I can fully concentrate on my own flow the whole day through. Indra is with my mom every Friday, so it's my work day. So it's no means an off day. But it's all the same a day I cherish because I can do the work and concentrate fully on one thing the whole day. And that feels good in my body. I'm sure many of you know this reality if you have kids, small kids, babies, or kids at home all day, that finishing a thought or action undisturbed is a rare act. And so we practice, grind, and perfect the art of focus and sharing our heartbeat with another being. This is a major spiritual practice, an act of selflessness and of our own boundaries in and of itself. I want you to know that I cherish you for doing that, for being in that space. I see you and I love you for your giving, Mother. Today we are connecting and tapping into the wisdom of my friend Johanna L. Rivera. Johanna has such a beautiful and powerful glow around her. She carries her wisdom softly and strongly in her heart to share with other women. She is there with much wisdom for those who want to connect to their ancestors, their plants, and their cycle. She entwines these different aspects for women's health into a beautiful circle of medicine and connectedness. Her life story is of a woman following her inner voice. I hope this episode inspires you to connect with your surroundings, to connect with your heart and womb, to connect with your voice, and to connect with your cycle. Johanna is also gifting our patrons with two beautiful offerings. One is a sound recording of a toning exercise. It is a vocal practice to center our bodies and energy centers. I have started using this as a part of my daily practice for the past week, and I feel empowered by it and much more in balance. She's also sharing a medicine wheel that she created that connects the different phases of our cycle to the elements, the moon, the archetypes, and to nourishing plants. It is a real treat and a great tool to start deepening into our bodies and how to nourish ourselves in the different aspects of our moon. If you're not yet a patron, you can go to Patreon at iMother and support the work with a small monthly contribution. Thank you so much. Here is Johanna's bio. I am a woman. I am a woman's health educator and community herbalist, as well as a mother, artist, scientist, and songkeeper. I bring my medicine basket full of flowers, drum and song, earth and feminine wisdom. I guide both women, both in circles and one-on-one, to connect heart, womb, and earth through deep self-care practices, to reconnect with their bodies, with nature, and their full creative expression. I am in deep devotion with the plant beings and the wisdom of the feminine and earth cycles. My deep desire is that women reconnect with their wisdom of their bodies and that as a collective, we can restore confidence in the wisdom of our bodies and reclaim a path to health. Thank you, Johanna, for joining and for being who you are. And I welcome you listeners to this new episode. Sink down, breathe fully, howl to the moon, and enjoy.
All right. Hello, Johanna. Welcome to iMother.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here and look forward for the conversation.
So I think we have so much to talk about. I mean, we met for the first time last week and you were sharing a bit with me about your life story, and we have a lot in common in regards to the work that we do. But maybe we can start off with you just speaking a bit about where you are in the world and, you know, where you're from, what do you do, who you are, you know?
Yeah, I am rooted now in Oslo, Norway, and I've been living here for, it's going to be 8 years after this summer. And I'm originally from Puerto Rico. It's a small island in the Caribbean. And how I ended up here, it's very, interesting. I left Puerto Rico in 2007, went to the US to do a PhD in pharmacy. And then my heart was beating to something else, and I wasn't feeling like this path that I thought, you know, becoming like a professor and teaching and being free was aligned anymore for me. And then I decided to leave my studies and went into Israel, Palestine, and from there I went to Iraq and lived and worked there for 3 years almost, and I met my significant Norwegian other while living there. So from Puerto Rico to the US to Iraq to Norway, that's a short story.
That was a short version. And that was, yeah, it's just so interesting that that background. Before we go into that a bit, because I want to just, you know, dive into that a little bit, but can you also just share what you do for work? What's your passion?
Yeah, what makes me wake up in the morning is the love for women's work, plant work, bringing women into connection with their cycles, with their body, and in that, bringing them close to their relationship with the earth, restoring our connection and our belonging to the earth. So it's a bit of a spiral, and it's not like I always, you know, I think articulating my work is always like a work in progress.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess that interconnection between women's spirituality, body politics, environmental, ecological activism.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Combined with herbalism and yeah, plant connection.
Mm. Thank you, Joanna. When we were in the car, I remember we were speaking a bit about the work that you did and, you know, what inspired you when you were in the Middle East, and how like you were feeling the connection between the work of women and how that is both political and spiritual. Maybe you can speak a little bit about how that works for you, or like how that is in your heart and your experience.
Yeah, that's also a bit of a spiral. Like, well, I guess if I start from, you know, where my portal was, it was motherhood and giving birth as a very embodied experience. And then I was working as a woman's activist in the Middle East, working on issues of child marriages, honor killings, gender-based violence, and then becoming a mother and feeling that that was one level of political activism, and that all I knew kind of crumbled when I became a mother in terms of, yeah, politics and even spirituality, and how women's bodies are conceived, articulated. Yeah, and then, so it became more like an embodied activism, like from a very high level, I guess, international political work into how does that translate into my own experience, into my own body, and the medicalization of birth as I experience it. And they say the personal is also the political. And then I've always been a spiritual person, and I lost my spiral. But yeah, so becoming a mother, that embodied experience, and how I lived the activism in my body, and how some things didn't resonate as an activist and as a mother.
Mm.
And how the body is politicized in terms of, yeah, how, what it is to become a mother, who cares for you and who cares for your, you know, your newborn. And
can you say a bit more about that, like that, like the body being political? I mean, I agree, and it's very easy to see that in regards to like birth, but can you deepen into like what you have seen about that, or your experience with that?
Yes, it's because then I start to connect more with my body through that experience of birth, and then I started to see how I was disconnected from my cycle, how everything was medicalized, how, you know, everything is like put into certain like categories, like 40 weeks, you have to give birth and you have to do it this way. And after that, if not, you're going to be induced. And if that doesn't work, you're going to have a C-section. And it takes away the power from woman that I am the one giving birth and I am the one who has a sovereignty in regards to my body and how I want to give birth. And instead it's like the doctor makes the, you know, because he's the qualified. So in a way it's like I understood that all this decision and all this power was taken away from woman and given to the institution, to the medical institution, and then menstruation, how everything connected to all the rites of passage really of woman, menarche, motherhood, childbirth, menopause is medicalized and how we as women kind of gave our power to the culture, to the society, to the medical institutions. And then like I did my master's also in public health and I studied decision making of women during pregnancy and childbirth in my own context, in my country, in Puerto Rico. But I saw that everything is based on fear of the baby dying, and that the woman's body is like a liability even to the baby. And it's like that through, you know, it's like our body is a liability if you look at it through all the, you know, the faces of womanhood, like the mother is a liability to her baby. The body is a liability to woman because she's in pain during her menstruation, because she's in menopause, she's like, you know, everything is pathologized. So it started like that, in that embodiment, and kind of deconstructing and reconstructing what it means to be a mother, what it means to be embodied in a woman's body. And for example, like breastfeeding, you know, like I had issues with breastfeeding. And then when I finally figured it out, and it was 3 months, and I was time to wean the baby, right? After 3-4 months, we have to start giving food to the baby. And it's like, even here in Norway, I experienced that the doctor, you know, was giving the guidelines. And when I ask, but why is that? Because that's the protocol, that's the guideline. And I said, but you didn't ask me what do I need as a mother? How would I like, you know, to further my breastfeeding? And I was breastfeeding until, you know, even too long, according to an Norwegian standard. And she was telling me, you start to need to start weaning the baby at night because they need to eat more during the day. And I said, yes, but you don't explain that if I wean at night, then I won't produce the same amount of milk during the day, because, you know, it's like a part of the whole cycle. So if I start weaning during the night, and you were pushing me as a, you know, medical system to breastfeed, you know, it's the best for the baby. And it's like, you know, so being a mother in that sense means to follow the guidelines, to follow the medical system, and to comply with the medical system. And then you're asking yourself, where do I, you know, fit myself into this system? So it was asking all these questions that I came deeper and deeper, and you know, the emphasis in production over reproduction. This is more like a ecofeminist framework, but I found that it was really helpful for me to understand where I was standing, you know, to be able to articulate all these things.
Oh goodness, Jana, there's like 10 different directions I want to go from here with what you're saying, because it's so, I mean, first of all, I want to just thank you for sharing a bit, you know, about your birth and your story and the difficulties and, you know, the the challenges that you were facing. And I'm sorry, you know, to hear that people were, you know, so stupid, honestly, and disrespectful. And, you know, with everything you're saying, I just feel this really heavy grief for it being like this. And that's the way it is at the moment, you know, that's the time we're living
and
in.
And that it has to be like that.
But it also makes me feel very like, more like centered and clear in the sense that the women that experiences these traumas that are able to use them as a gateway, they, you know, that's the really important part, because those are the people that are, you know, carrying these voices out and changing the trajectory,
the narratives. Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing all this work, you're in the Middle East, and I wanted to just like, how can you just like elaborate a bit about, you know, what did you see, how did you like start digesting this after being in the Middle East and becoming a mother? Like, what did you see? How was that experience of being in the Middle East as a woman doing the work that you were doing?
Yeah, that's a that's a very interesting question. Yeah, where do I start? Well, first I was a woman and an international, right? So there are different hierarchies, I guess, of being a woman. So I was like an outsider in a way, but I did experience a lot of harassment, you know, being a woman and sitting alone in a taxi and or like having to cover myself. For example, when I was traveling to the south of Iraq, which is more conservative, and it's been the most amazing experience, I just have to say that, you know, start saying that, both professionally and personally as a human being. And also that Iraq is a very, you know, it's very different than what's presented in the media. It's, I mean, people are, I come from the Latin background, so I just felt really at home in terms of culture, traditions, dancing, hospitality. I would say I have more culture shock when I came to Norway than when I went into the Middle East. And I was speaking Arabic and a bit of Kurdish, so I knew the context and the political context and the cultural context already. So for me, I was very comfortable. The only thing was, you know, there is harassment as a woman. Like, you're not supposed to be alone at night. You're not supposed to be, you know, smiling at men. Like, that means something totally different than being a nice, you know, a respectful person. It means that, you know, a man can approach you in a different, probably more like sexual way. So that was that. And that was, that was tough. Even when I came here, I was feeling a bit like, you know, I didn't want to walk alone at night and, you know, having that kind of still understanding, even though I changed context, I was still feeling like, things can, you know, be a bit different at night alone, in the, you know, walking from the supermarket. I would just, you know, be looking back and making sure there was not a man walking behind me. And yeah, so that was that. And then all the activism I did in terms of, women's rights was more like social and political rights. And I was doing a lot of ecological activism too, related to water. So, and that's when everything clicked, you know, like, and again, with this framework of ecofeminism, which sees kind of like the hierarchy between, you know, man, woman, nature, and how the exploitation of nature is tightly interconnected to the exploitation of women. I mean, this is very like said in a very simple way, but for me it made total sense, because I had been working on environmental issues, on women's issues, and then I could really see the links. And then I was working with, you know, with movements all around the world protecting water. So I met women from Latin America, Argentina, Mapuche woman, Kurdish woman, you know, using their bodies, standing against dams and exploitation of nature. So that's when everything clicked in a way. Maybe I'm going a bit forward, but we as an embodiment of the earth, you know, if you look at more at the spiritual aspect of ecofeminism and other frameworks of women's spirituality, that we are interconnected, that our body is the body of the earth. And I know I'm going a bit in spiral, but that's, I guess, my way is more like that, like associative. So please feel free to.
I'm just really enjoying everything that you're sharing. And it was just such a strong and like loaded image when you were saying like you met women from around the world, like standing with their bodies to protect nature. Like, holy shit. That's such a visual. And how fucking sad isn't that? Like, that we have to stand and protect the waters, like, of this planet with our bodies. Like, that's so, like, screwed.
Yeah, but for me, in a sense, it's like, I don't know how to articulate many of these things, you know. I find a hard time to articulate, because I just feel them in my body, like, yeah, being in a woman's body and yeah, it's just like that song, earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. And it's not that it's a woman's work. It's also men's work. But I guess that because of all these things that we've been talking about, birth as an embodied experience, you know, like breastfeeding is like, you know, feeding your child like the earth feeds us. And just sitting here and looking at all the trees and all the green and all the plants, and yeah, it's like when I understood that through that portal of motherhood, everything else, you know, fell into place. I get goosebumps.
I mean, it's like in a way, I just feel it's, I mean, it's a beautiful image of like connectedness and like being summoned for something, you know, like being summoned for something that is beyond our, I mean, yeah, it's hard to find the right words, but it's just that, and that image is just really so real and so beautiful, and also makes me want to go and talk a bit about your roots, you know, in regards to water and blood. And like, so we don't just drop into this work. I mean, you were speaking about your entry point But obviously, I mean, at least I believe that from my own perspective, like, I was born to do this work, even though it took me a while to realize, but so it's been in my, it's been in the stars, let's say, since I was born. So that means that there are forefathers and mothers, you know, informing our ways. So maybe you can just share a bit about that, however you want.
Yeah, it's been a journey of reclaiming that those roots, that those lineages. I mean, for me, it's been through plants, and plants have been reminding me a lot about my lineage, about my roots, and even, you know, here in Norwegian soil, like I feel like plants. I always tell this story about yarrow, which really connected me or reminded me or, you know, brought me back to my ancestors, like being in relationship with yarrow. I started to remember things from the woman in my lineage. You know how they were displaced, and we all have stories in our lineage, right? That of displacement, of in my case, of genocide, of displacement from the woman in my lineage, from their lands, from their relationship to plants. And it was like I was getting all these messages and images, and like, what are you saying? Like, leave me alone, you know, I'm not ready for this. And then I let it sit for a bit, and it came again after some time when I was able to transform it, or like to process it, and through song and through painting, I started receiving all these images of women losing their voice, losing their land, you know, like warm issues in my lineage. And last year, you know, with Black Lives Matters, you know, remembering my, I guess, my Blackness or my Black roots, and how that's being undermined in my own culture, you know, being Black. It's like, it's a hierarchy, right? Like, we come from Spanish, Native Indians, and Africans, and the Africans are the last because they were the slaves, right? So no one wants to, you know, like, put that on the top. Like, so it was reclaiming that, and in a sense, not needing to, I want to say, heal it, because I guess we talked about this, you know, constant urge for healing, but just to honor it, you know. It's not that, I guess it depends for everyone, it's different, but like not needing to feel the weight that I have to, you know, heal all the centuries of injustice and displacement and, you know, and genocide and violence, which, you know, many of us are dealing with, but just giving it a place and honoring that. And I guess for me, it's been in reciprocity with the more than humans, with the land, with the plants, and also with relationships. I mean, honoring my parents, for example, who might not see things the same way, but that they carried, you know, this to me, and finding ways, like reclaiming my lineage as a drummer and a singer, which before I would think like this is something for leisure, right? Like singing and drumming is something for leisure. And now I understand it's part of my, as you say, as one of the things I came here to do, and reframing that story. That I am not this or I am not that. I am, you know, I am everything. Who I am. Mm. I am everything, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Just wanted to, you know, that connection between land and plants and forest in regards to, you know, our ancestors. I had a bit of the same experience, only with when I, you know, I was starting to study forest therapy, and when my daughter was 2 or something. So like when she was 1.5 or so, it started like going downhill. When I stopped nursing and all the hormones went out of my system, I was, you know, fuck, I need, you know, I can't deal. And then I went for this training in Slovenia for 10 days. I can't believe I left her for 10 days, but anyways, I did. And then I had a bit the same experience, you know, like, oh my God, I've been like, when I was a little girl, I was so connected to land and my senses and, you know, being, you know, this fairy, you know, girl. And then, you know, life, blah, 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 la, la, la. And then when I was there, I sort of really like remembered like who I was and where I'm from. And when I started, you know, embodying that and taking that with me into my daily life and my, you know, my own land, it was like opening this huge box of remembrance. Like everything was speaking and like all the information that is there, ready to harvest. It's like nature is like this portal of ancestry, you know, like that's a way, that's a very alive way of reaching our ancestors.
Yeah, I feel like the land holds all the stories, you know, that have ever happened, you know, in a place, in a history, in,
yeah.
And it's just waiting for someone to, you know.
It's like a memory deposit bank, like it just like takes the memories and seeds them till someone's ready to, yeah, be there and see it. So I would like to, if you I was just like trying to feel, there was something about what you said about the voice that that I've been thinking about ever since I joined your circle, about the voice. I don't know if it was, if it's just like an I need to sort of like deepen into the voice. I think maybe that's it. But I just wanted to share something about the voice, because, you know, the voice is so like multi-layered, like multifaceted in so many ways, you know. And as I told you and I was singing to you, you know, that I've been writing these texts that are, you know, a lot about ecofeminism and like my own lineage and violence and blood mysteries and everything, you know. And I'm just writing them down, and then I'm trying to make music with it, you know. And I was there yesterday with this musician that we're working with every Friday, and I'm standing and he's playing the what is it called in English? Contrabass.
Yeah.
So I'm just standing there like, and he's just playing next to my music. And I'm just like feeling this like moment of, you know, my life where I'm creating something with my voice about my lineage that was never spoken, you know? And I'm just feeling the presence of my grandmother so strongly, because she was a very like artistic soul that sort of never, you know, had the opportunity to voice and, you know, be creative. And just like, you know, like feeling that energy of like, you know, wow, I'm able to do that. Like both in the sense of being able to speak like what is right for me and use my voice, you know, physically. Yeah, it's just like, and that's been like a huge part of my journey, you know, like starting to speak about what's difficult and like speak about my birth, these kinds of things, and all these layers of like, okay, so I'm speaking, I don't care about what you think about what I speak, because this is my truth. And I, you know, it's just very it's like a huge like dimension, you know, the voice. Yeah. And yeah, how the voice and the throat, you know, affects our reproductive system, like our vaginas, our everything, you know, this connection, you know. Do you want to just like jump into that with me?
Yeah, there's so many layers so to what you're saying. Yeah, it's been my experience that when I looked at it more as a multi-layer thing, and for me it's a lot of spiritual, you know, like aspects to it, and it has a lot of physical aspects, you know, like I explored this through the toning exercise and through the chakras, and for me it's like it's a way, if you're in the right safe space, to bring the invisible to the visible. Mm. So I guess like you have, it's been a journey for you, right? You started this podcast, speaking your truth and opening more and more this, you know, this center, and processing your childbirth and your trauma, you know, so opening the womb center or the second chakra. And for me, like in the work I do, I really believe there are connected these, you know, these centers, like the womb, the heart, with feeling, you know, safe and protected, and having, you know, like a supportive container to then be able to speak the truth. So I guess you, as I see it, I mean, you've created a safe container where you feel supported and valued, and that you, what you have to say, it's important and relevant, and that your voice is beyond performance, is that channel of manifestation of that truth, of that, yeah, that which others couldn't speak or express. So for me, yeah, it's that, what would you call it? That connection between the invisible and the visible, and the voice being that channel where all that gets to be, you know, carried through.
Yeah, I was thinking, we were speaking about that, me and my boyfriend, about like, you know, how our life on this earth is a physical experience, you know, like we're physical beings. And at the moment that we, you know, depart from this world, it's like we become our ether, you know, like ether is the way of the ancestors. And you know, I've always been a lot of ether, and that's always sort of been a challenge. But in that regards, it's just quite like, you know, beautiful, challenging, everything at once. But to listen into that ether of, and then trying to transmit, you know, the voices, the messages through our physical bodies in this time, you know, and speaking with our voices, you know.
Yeah. And that makes, that's beautiful, because that makes me think, even though I, you know, I always am trying to find ways to articulate what my medicine is, this is one of the things that I, you know, I witness and support women doing that through, you know, holding the space that they are embodied. And once they are in their body and they feel that they can trust their body beyond, you know, trauma or beyond what happened, you know, that they've been heartbroken. It's like, yeah, your body is your vessel, your sacred vessel. And, you know, that is with you every single day. And that is the, again, the vessel for your unfolding. And then once you are there, embodied, and, you know, supported by plants and supported by ritual and supported by a sacred space, then your true voice and your true expression and your connection with the invisible can kind of come without resistance.
And just, that's also why, you know, we can say that our bodies are political, you know, because that's how you hold women, like that's how you control society, because
yeah exactly, right? When you give your power and your body and your ability to make informed decisions that will make you be safe in your body, be it in childbirth, in, you know, mothering, in menopause, like, you know, what a way to control woman, that telling her, like, after menopause, you know, there's nothing, you know, there's no value, no worth, no, you know, your body is like a, you know, let's take your womb out, like, that's not, you know, has no other use, you know, like, if the womb is just only a vessel of conception, when it's much more, you know, it's like the source of our creative power, the source of our, at the physical level, bone health, skin health, cardiovascular health. It's produced because we are able to ovulate and produce, you know, estrogen and progesterone. That's more like at a, you know, physical, biochemical level. But what are the layers to that in terms of emotional health, mental health, spiritual health? Yeah, there's many layers, and could have like a, you know, like a whole conversation in.
Yeah, there is so many interesting things to dive into. So like, as of like, we're gonna start like rounding up, but I wanted to ask you if you can share a bit about your work with plants and how you relate, what you do, what you create, your plant universe.
yeah okay, let's see if I can be more concrete, because I've been I guess like in many of them, or like ethers of, but I guess for me, plants are a way to connect into the cycle of, you know, the seasons, the moon, menstrual cycle. So it's they help to hold the container of the whole wheel of the year, you know, looking into what grows when. And for me, it's like that mandala I shared in the workshop, which is a circle with the, if you imagine a circle, for those who are listening, divided into four, and then you could imagine, like, you know, the four quadrants are like spring, and then summer, and then autumn and winter, and then, I mean, you could relate it to the elements and to the phases of the menstrual cycle and to the directions and to the seasons. I mean, there are different frameworks, right? Because you could work with earth plants, or you could work with the plants that are growing now in the spring, like dandelion, nettle, now lady's mantle, and then more into the summer with other plants that are growing later, like St. John's wort and meadowsweet. So it's like I like to have like a journal, or like feeling that mandala with the different plants that grow in the different seasons. But for example, in the winter, there's no, you know, here in Norway, there's no plants that are growing. But for example, the winter I associate with the earth element and with the body, the physical body. So I like to work with herbal infused oils, because for me that embodies like the earth quality of like nourishing the body. So I work with the oils that I've prepared during the spring and the summer. And you could work with more warming herbs. And
so just to fill people in, if in case they don't know what a herbal infused oil is, basically you just take the herb, leave it in the oil for 4 to 6 weeks, and then the oil extracts the medicinal properties out of the plant, and in that sense is a cheaper, a more like local option,
seasonal,
and the easy to make. It's really easy to make.
So it could be with the plants or plant medicine. So for example, I said that for the earth I like to work with the oils, and then for the water elements I like to work with the flower essences, with the tinctures, and even with the yoni steams or the herbal baths, that, you know, things that you use in infused in water. And then for the fire, I like to use the same herbs that I harvest, and I make them into smudge, you know, like oregano or like rose or sage. And then for fire, I would also the yoni steam, because you have to put fire to warm the herbs. And so, yeah, part of my work is connecting women with that plant medicine and how to use different preparations to support their health. You know, you could use the body oil for a breast massage or for a foot massage or even for your face. So also each plant has like a medicinal property, and also like a more energetical, spiritual, emotional, you know, supporting the emotional body. So for example, for womb and heart, I use a lot of rose. I have the rose essence and the rose infused oil, and even, you know, in tea or in an elixir with honey, and for heart opening, for heart support. Now with these times, you know, when there's lot of things moving the emotional level, so connecting to the wheel of the year, connecting to deep self-care, and supporting the emotional body.
I think definitely you need to come back, Johanna, and we speak about, you know, self-care and women's economies and all of these kinds of things. There's so many things. But maybe just to finish, you can share, because you're doing soon a course, and like where we can find you and what you're up to at the moment.
Yeah, that's, I think I'm putting my heart and womb into this course or accompaniment. It's a 4-month, I call it a mentorship, but I like accompaniment a lot more. And it's like 4 months into one, you know, 1 month into each of these aspects, like ritual, embodiment, ritual, like how to use plants and the seasons and the moon phases to support our physical and emotional health, and then embodiment, like learning about hormones, how the menstrual cycle, it's you know, it's an ally and it's supportive of our health, and how to identify imbalances in the menstrual cycle, how to track your cycles, signs of ovulation, and then a lot of meditation practices to connect with the body. And then there is a module on drumming, sacred sound, and toning, a song as a way to connect, you know, the invisible to the visible. And then there is a module on earth wisdom, so how the elements are, you know, supporting us, our body and our emotions and spirit, and has some of the Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine frameworks to, you know, to go into the different parts of the body and parts of mental, emotional, spiritual. And yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Joanna Rivera. Wild and the Moon in on Instagram. And yeah, what else?
That course, I just have to recommend anyone, you know, who's wanting to deepen into that world. I mean, I would love to attend your course. I'm sure. It looks so beautiful, and I'm sure it's just amazing to be a part of. And yeah,
it's a deep dive, so. Yeah, it's like I was thinking, it's the culmination of my life experience and my embodied experience, and
it looks like a beautiful creation of you, so yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything you would like to share with the women listening? Anything in your heart at the moment, whatever.
That I would like to again speak to that idea of our bodies as sacred vessels and of our allies, and how we can, beyond what we have been told and what we have constructed, you know, as the ideas that our body might be, you know, X or Y, that to look into the ways that our body supports us every single day, like to, you know, to be here. And that it might, you know, some days it might look like staying in bed, a bit resting, and acknowledging that we have less energy and being gentle with ourselves, which is always difficult, you know, because we want to do many things. And especially these days I've been feeling low, and then I'm like, yeah, you have to walk your talk, right? Like, be gentle, you know, cry when you have to cry, honor your emotions. Your emotions are part of your body. So yeah, to be gentle and compassionate with yourself and with your body, and all the ways that it He's here for you.
Thank you, Joanna. It's so nice to sit with you, and you're so vibrant and wise and full of love and light, and just really beautiful to have you on the podcast and to know you. And thank you so much for coming and sharing from your heart and your life story.
Thank you for holding this beautiful container. Really nice to speak authentically and, you know, from the heart. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joanna, for sharing your wisdom. I see you, and I see your strong medicine and the importance of the work that you do. You can find Joanna at Facebook and on Instagram at wild.and.the.moon. She's just now starting a beautiful mentorship program, so check it out. I have some exciting news to share with everyone today. I have started a YouTube channel named iMother. I was invited by a dear friend to do so, and after feeling into it and bringing my camera along, I started enjoying recording and doing the small edits. Thus far, it is a handful of videos, but I'm inspired to share continuously in the years to come. We mamas walk around all day in our own worlds, you know, with little or few mirrors. Seeing my day through video actually gave me a mirror, made me see that I'm doing so much valuable for my daughter and family. We experience our days much from the inside, at least I do. How I feel colors how I think the day went, but if I feel shitty, the day still could have had many nourishing moments. So it also reflects back to me that the way we feel is only one way of perceiving life. And we are not only what we feel. In the channel, I share from my life how we live, our house, our forest, our building projects, the way we harvest, ceremonies, reflections, everything. There are already a few followers, and many have seen the videos. And I want to express my deep gratitude for the support, and a special thanks to the people who wrote a message and commented on the videos. I really feel so happy that what I share fuels you. Thank you so much. So head on over to YouTube, search for iMother, and subscribe to the channel. From September on, I will start a monthly Mama Circle group in Holmestrand. It means that every month, the same group will gather and speak of topics that are related to motherhood, our hearts, and our bodies. The thread will be the cycle of the seasons. So if you want to deepen into a safe container of fellowship of women's wisdom, sign up soon. I will be posting the course on Facebook and my webpage. So keep connected. Next episode, you will meet my dear friend, Mi Maria. Mi lives in Nesodden. And I met her first time while receiving a Roboso ceremony with Lina and her. Mi is a soul sister that is coming on the show to share about aware parenting. I welcome her fully heartedly to the show. Thank you, friends, for listening. Thank you, patrons. I hope you enjoy the warmth of summer in your bones. Much love from me.